Hello, everyone. Before you check out the latest episode of The Raw Verdict, believe it or not, WWE continued the WWE draft and entered free agency on Twitter. So I have to update people that were swapped to Raw, to SmackDown, and vice versa. So the following people have been moved from Raw to SmackDown. Zelina Vega has moved to SmackDown. Billy Kay has moved to SmackDown. Tamina has moved to SmackDown, and Eric will remain on Monday Night Raw as one half of the Viking Raiders. As of right now, Mickie James and Andrade are the highest profile free agents not signed to either show at the moment. And the irony is not lost on me that WWE figured out free agency after I called them out on it at the beginning of this podcast. But for integrity purposes, you still get to hear that rant during this episode. And with that, on with the show. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 38 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 38 of WrestleSoaptopia begins. Happy Tuesday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW gets underway. And it was night two of the 2020 WWE draft as night one went down this past Friday night on SmackDown. And it was a pretty much paint-by-numbers night for Monday Night Raw. They got a few key additions, including AJ Styles, Naomi, and The New Day, bringing the SmackDown Tag Team Championships over to Monday nights, even though the Street Profits are still the Raw Tag Team Champions. But that was resolved on last night's show, as we had a switcheroo, so to speak. But SmackDown definitely gained, with Bianca Belair and an entire feud moving from Raw to SmackDown, including Dominik and Rey Mysterio, along with Seth Rollins. And on the Talking Smack post-draft edition, Murphy did make the switch to Friday Night SmackDown as well, and supplemental picks include Angie and Aaliyah on the Mysterio side, as Mysterio La Familia continues on Friday nights in front of the largest audience possible for professional wrestling on a weekly basis. That might be a key reason why they moved. More eyeballs, and if you can breathe some life into this feud that feels listless to me. But I do sense that the SmackDown creative administration do have a solid voice, and it could be Bruce Prichard, could be someone else that really has a defined focus of what SmackDown is supposed to be about. And even though Vince can go crazy week to week, it does seem like SmackDown has a firm focus on the future versus Monday Night Raw, which was supposed to be about the future, but it has regressed since the departure of Paul Heyman as the executive director over the summer. So Raw felt very samey. SmackDown feels fresher, and it got even fresher during night two of the WWE draft, and that continued into the post-draft edition of Raw Talk, which aired live on the free version of the WWE Network, and you can catch up on that on demand at your leisure. As we did wrap up the 2020 WWE draft with more supplemental picks, I will announce towards the end of this episode any free agents who are outstanding as of today. But I do want to touch on a couple of things. I want to get the negatives out of the way, and I want to save the big negative for the end of the show. But I want to educate WWE on the purpose of a draft and free agency. A draft means you're drafting people from one show to the other, and they have no say-so in that movement in a storyline sense. Now, a free agent is undrafted, which means that they can negotiate with Raw and SmackDown, or perhaps the USA or Fox Networks, to say, which one of you want me more? How can I progress my career with Raw or SmackDown? Who has my best interests at heart? And then you can say so-and-so signed with Raw or SmackDown. You don't get drafted as a free agent. If you are going to draft people off the air, then just call it a supplemental draft and be done with it. As someone that watches every draft imaginable, from the NFL to the NBA to MLB to NHL to soccer even, it's very insulting to me, and I'm probably assuming it's insulting to you, the listeners out there, that WWE does not understand the difference between a draft and free agency. And it boggles my mind. And to see them break news on social media as if they're smart, saying, well, hey, Shorty G, Chad Gable is his name, was drafted to SmackDown. No, he's a free agent. He signed with SmackDown. It makes it sound more professional and sensible to say someone took their talents to another show, or they decided to stay with that show with caveats added in storyline. It's so frustrating. But that was the least of our problems, as we were guaranteed an appearance from Retribution to hear from Mustafa Ali himself to explain his actions and the true purpose of Retribution. This was advertised on their social media for the last several days, and we did not get a peep from Retribution outside of a recap from last week's attack. That is false advertising, and that simply is not cool. You have buzz around this group, and it's not in a bad way for a change. You actually have fans who were laughing their asses off a few weeks ago over the names of Slapjack, T-Bar, and Mace. And now we actually give a fuck, and then you decide not to give us a follow-up. I know the draft might seem very busy, and sure enough it was, with five rounds of drafts on top of all the matches taking place on the show, but if you're not going to do it, then by all means, don't announce a segment that you're not going to follow through with. You lose momentum that way. Save that for next week. Now, I don't know if it was a health situation that stalled things out, but Retribution is doing a lot of the heavy lifting on social media to try to make it make sense. But when you don't give them television time to explain their actions, it makes us incredibly impatient as fans who invested in this storyline. And hopefully we get a reasonable explanation on social media that leads to something on television next week. Because that was inexcusable. And on top of that, we had a battle royal dual branded. I know the draft muddies everything up when you try to do so many things at one time. You had Alexa Bliss initially advertised for the battle royal, and then she's not in it during the main event. She is one of the top acts in WWE today with The Fiend Bray Wyatt, and it's a great dynamic. I think she is one of the shining lights in this company as we speak. If you don't want to beat her, how about this? Don't advertise her in the fucking battle royal to begin with. It's not a hard concept. If you don't want her to lose, don't advertise her in the match, because I have people on social media wondering, did we forget about Alexa? She was advertised, we saw her earlier in the night. Then don't push her in the main event if you don't want her to lose. It's a very simple concept that WWE has failed at, not once, but twice, when it comes to false advertising and not coming through due to we're running out of time or cold feet. Those two things really irritated me last night, because I like things being delivered in a timely fashion, especially when you advertise it. And when it comes to a draft, it'd be really nice for WWE creative to understand the difference between drafting people and signing people to free agency. They are not one in the same. Call it a supplemental draft and be done with it. It's not rocket science. If I need to be a liaison to WWE to sort this shit out for them, then so be it. But I demand to be paid triple for my services, because my patience, it wears thin very quickly over stupidity. And the main event, not the match itself, but the closing moments, really was the cherry on top to this shit pie of frustration. But don't you worry, dear listeners, I would touch on that towards the end of this episode. But let's start off on a more happier, rosier note by recapping last night's show from the very top, as we had Randy Orton kick things off inside the Thunderdome at the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. And he noted that this is the year of Drew McIntyre. He defeated Brock Lesnar to become the WWE Champion at WrestleMania. And he was the first man to pin McIntyre to the mat in almost a year, and that is a great accomplishment for him, which means he's going to do it again inside Hell in a Cell and become a 14-time World Heavyweight Champion, and he is going to make Drew McIntyre fear the three most destructive letters in WWE RKO. Drew McIntyre comes out and says, that is right. You are the first man to pin me in almost a year, but you didn't finish the job. when I was down and out, you could have punted me, but you didn't. And that was a mistake. And I did promise you every time I see you on Raw, I'm going to beat your ass on sight. And so they had a fight, a pretty good scrap, as they brawled around and inside of the ring. And McIntyre had Randy running after he dropped him with a belly to back suplex on the announce table to wrap up the opening segment. I thought this was a good way to open the show. It was simple and basic. Randy Orton's promos don't have that same zip or that personal edge from earlier this year, pun intended, against Edge heading into WrestleMania and their subsequent match at Backlash, where they had the greatest wrestling match ever. But he's still solid, and Drew McIntyre is always reliable on the mic and can bring it physically as well. So from that standpoint, it was good, and I had no problems not seeing them for the rest of the night. But oh boy, did we see them again. Spoiler alert. Next up was round one of night two of the 2020 WWE draft, and overall, picked number one was The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, to Monday Night Raw. Coming in number two was Bayley, the reigning defending SmackDown Women's Champion, who did cross the 1 year mark a couple of days ago and is the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion of all time, and that is quite the feat for Bayley. Randy Orton came in at number three for Monday Night Raw. Number four, to explain why the New Day moved from SmackDown to Raw with the SmackDown Tag Team titles, it is the Street Profits, who are the Raw Tag Team Champions, moving over to SmackDown and rounding out round one of the 2020 WWE Draft Part Two is Charlotte remaining on Monday Night Raw. So the first round didn't offer up a ton of surprises, with the exception of the Street Profits moving to SmackDown with the Raw Tag Team titles. And in the most peaceful transfer of titles in WWE history, Adam Pearce says, well, since the New Day are on Raw and the Street Profits are on SmackDown, we can simply switch the titles around, and the Street Profits are now Triple Crown Champions via this transfer, which is amazing to me. So they are now recognized as the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, and the New Day are Raw Tag Team Champions. So is this the 10th title reign for the New Day? I don't know if that's officially on the record, but we shall see. But I love their dynamic backstage, and quite frankly, I would love to see this match at Survivor Series, as it's next gen, meaning the curtain generation, with New Day and Street Profits mingling, and we know they can kill it in the promo department. So I need more of this during the one night Raw and SmackDown come together, even though they've been coming together a lot this past calendar year. The mix of obviously is pretty null and void in terms of brand supremacy and all that jazz. Next up was a no disqualification match featuring Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black, and this was their best television match to date. Back-to-back good matches from Kevin Owens, first on Friday Night SmackDown against The Fiend, and right here last night against Aleister Black. This was a really good match, and Kevin Owens continues to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is one of the best, if not the best, professional bump takers in professional wrestling today. He is amazing. Aleister did this back body drop on Owens on the announce table. You hear the crack of that table and Owens going back first and eating it before going to a commercial break. From there, Owens gets slammed face first with a leg sweep into the steel chair. But the true highlight was Kevin Owens setting up four chairs in the ring, and all the seats are facing each other. He goes up to attempt a superplex off the top rope to Aleister Black. That's already crazy enough. However, Aleister knocks Kevin Owens off the ropes, and in possibly one of the more insane spots you'll see on WWE television this year, he delivers a fucking meteora, the double knees, to Kevin Owens on the chairs. And that could have been the pin, but Kevin Owens kicked out by some miracle. It was a great spot. I thought Aleister delivered it beautifully, and Owens sold it even better. From there, Black rolled out of the ring to take the table that Owens initially set up on the outside, get it back in the ring, and he grabbed Owens from the outside, but Owens ducked a Black mass, got Black back in the ring, hit the stunner, and powerbombed him through the table in the ring to pick up the 1-2-3, a really good no DQ match and their best match to date, as they had a lot of solid outings, but when you run a match so quickly and Owens won decisively the first time and then Black was disqualified the second time and all the sneak attacks, it does water down the specialness of what this feud could be. But ultimately in this setting, they both delivered, and Owens continues to impress. When he is given the bare minimum, he makes the best out of every situation, as Aleister Black continues to find himself in this new role, and he's too talented to be squandered, and hopefully his new home will give him the freedom to be who he's meant to be on the main roster. Next up was round two of the WWE draft, as we have Braun Strowman making the switch from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw, Daniel Bryan remaining on Friday Night SmackDown, Matt Riddle moving to Monday Night Raw, Kevin Owens moving to Friday Night SmackDown, and rounding out round two is Jeff Hardy moving to Monday Night Raw. So this was the most movement of the draft thus far, with a few key pieces being transferred to Raw and a couple of pieces moving and or staying on SmackDown. I thought this really benefited Kevin Owens the most, as he's reunited with his best friend and current Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn, and that is a feud that will never get old for me. So if they can reignite that, that would be fantastic. Once Daniel Bryan is back from paternity leave, he can make a difference on SmackDown, as well as he also has a creative voice on that brand, which definitely helps make things make more sense on Friday nights. Braun Strowman moving to Raw makes sense as well, as he will get to feud with Keith Lee. And as I mentioned last week, Braun Strowman can be what Roman Reigns was to him 3 years ago, but getting Keith Lee over by doing some big hoss shit on Monday nights. And Matt Riddle moving from Raw to SmackDown is a bit surprising. But if you check out this clip on social media of Seth Rollins having zero desire to wrestle Matt Riddle, and he could get drafted to Monday Night Raw for all he cared, and I guess the soon-to-be Friday Night Messiah got his wish. So the shade was definitely thick during that watch-along during Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. But overall, this was the best round of the draft thus far in terms of really moving people from one show to the other. Next up was the farewell address from the soon-to-be Friday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. And once again, his sermons do drone on and on and on, and you get bored very quickly. And I have preferred Rollins' previous performances as of late with Murphy and the Mysterio family. So this was kind of back to the basics of putting me to sleep, which is never a good thing considering his talent level. Fortunately, Jeff Hardy comes out and says, I can be a comparable leader on Monday nights. And then AJ Styles says, no, this is my show now. And besides, Monday Night Rollins was never a thing anyway. And Rollins took major offense to that. He turned around, got in AJ's face, and then Jeff Hardy attacked both men and used AJ as a launch pad to do poetry in motion to Rollins on the outside, which led to a triple threat match that Hardy initially called a triple threat tag team match. And I was looking around for the other partners, but then I'm assuming that Jeff Hardy had a flashback to the Hardy Boys, him and Matt, with Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys. All you need is TLC, and bam, here is 2001 all over again. So it's forgivable. But this was my second favorite match of the night. When you have three seasoned veterans out there doing what they love and performing at a high level, it cannot be bad. And everyone got their shine. Rollins was topeing everyone on the outside prior to the commercial break. Hardy got back on offense with a double whisper in the wind, but he kind of bent his knee in a scary way upon landing. But fortunately, he was all right as he shook it off a few moments later. And then he used AJ Styles as a launch pad again by delivering a very weird tornado DDT, but he hit it on Rollins nonetheless, as Rollins was going for a stump on AJ in a pretty cool triple team spot as well. From there, we had AJ putting Rollins in the calf crusher, only for Hardy to break things up with a swanton bomb that got Rollins out of the match. And then it was down to Styles and Jeff Hardy. Styles going for the Styles Clash, and Jeff Hardy countering with a twist of fate. But before going back to the top rope to hit a second swanton bomb, Elias comes out of nowhere and smashes Jeff Hardy in the back with the guitar. And we had immediate flashbacks to May of this year when Hardy was involved in the hit-and-run accident, and he was set up by Seamus, but that was never proven to be true. But we're assuming a redheaded man on the scene looking like a hybrid of Seamus and Beaker from the Muppets. Come on, it was definitely Seamus who did that shit. But apparently Elias is not believing that story and still blaming Hardy nonetheless for it. And he cost him the match as AJ rolled into the cover for the 1-2-3. And Elias was interviewed backstage by Charlotte Caruso later in the show. And she did say there was a redheaded man behind the attack and it was not Jeff Hardy's fault. But Elias is not believing it. And he vows payback on Hardy, but not before we get a concert next week as Elias comes back as a full-fledged heel. And that's a much better look on him versus being a face that sung terrible songs on Friday Night SmackDown. And hopefully Elias can stay healthy this time around because he suffered a couple of serious injuries over the past year, from a broken ankle to a torn pec muscle 6 months ago. So hopefully he is back and will stay healthy this time around. He's not the best performer in the ring, but he's highly entertaining as a character. And hopefully this switch, as I am presuming, from SmackDown to Raw will benefit him greatly in the months to come. Next up was round three of the 2020 WWE Draft Part 2, as we had Stephanie McMahon looking over her shoulder for Retribution, who were drafted to Monday Night Raw. And you can just imagine those negotiations between USA Network and the creative team on Monday Night Raw in the draft room saying, let's get the group that is fucking shit up every single week. They are of great value to us. And by ruining our shows every week and hacking our satellites, wow, we need that every week. SmackDown at least wasn't dumb enough to get the hacker group on their show. So at least they have some brains over there. Next up, Lars Sullivan moved to Friday Night SmackDown. He will face Jeff Hardy, who is now a Raw talent on Friday Night SmackDown during its season premiere. I can safely say Lars Sullivan has been back for a grand total of a show and is already shrouded in controversy once again by sending inappropriate comments to a yoga instructor on Instagram. And that's not a good look. And I have to take back everything I said about being a changed person, being more mature since his time out and subsequent recovery from his ACL injury. And based on various reports, he's not well liked backstage, but the one person that's backing him is the one that runs the whole damn show, and you know who that is. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Just don't call him Junior, but he's the final decision maker. Lars is getting his push as he destroyed Morrison on last night's show during Miz TV, and Miz is the worst friend in the world as he saw his friend get beat up once again by Lars Sullivan. So he's getting the push, whether fans and or backstage talent like it or not, and I guess we have to deal with it for now. So that means I have to take a shot of liquor reviewing his matches moving forward, because it's definitely a chore to get through. Moving, or shall I say staying, on Monday Night Raw is Keith Lee. Staying on Friday Night SmackDown is King Corbin. And moving to Monday Night Raw is the one, the only, Alexa Bliss. And speaking of Little Miss Bliss, she is a rock star of the highest order. Once again, she is the highlight of the show. So we had a match between Andrade and Angel Garza. It was solid, pretty nondescript. Angel Garza gets the win with the ring clipper. Zelina Vega is at ringside and she's bad-mouthing Alexa Bliss, which is never a good thing because you never know who's listening. So she's feeling remorse for Andrade, who got beat decisively. And she's trying to console him in the ring. And then you hear the Fiend's music and the lights go out and they go red. And you see Alexa in the pose of the Fiend in the corner, staring down Andrade and Zelina. It's a great visual. And then you have the Fiend behind them. And then we have the moment of the night when the Fiend and Alexa Bliss hit stereo in sync to perfection. Sister Abigail's to Andrade and Zelina Vega, respectively. They were hit on point. And it's not blasphemous of me to say that Alexa hits her better than Bray Wyatt. She does. And they stare each other down. They have this weird chemistry that's compelling to watch. They are so cool and different. And Alexa Bliss is embodying the spirit of this new character from her head to her toes. It's truly amazing to watch her work. And this is by far the finest work I've seen from her in years. She's committed, she's all in, and the Fiend is more interesting because of it. And I just love their dynamic. And for him to show so much with a mask on and Alexa feeding off of that is quite remarkable. That was my highlight of last night from a pure presentation standpoint. And I cannot wait to see what they thread on Monday nights together, since they are now a twisted union of hell. And I'm looking forward to it. I loved this segment. I don't know what the future holds for Zelina Vega or Andrade, as they went undrafted last night. You heard that right. They went undrafted on television and during Raw Talk, which is inexplicable to me. But in a perfect world, I would prefer them to stay together and maybe get over as a babyface act. Andrade and Zelina can be likable. I truly believe that. And Andrade is too talented to be wasted. So if they can feud with the Fiend and Alexa Bliss, so be it. I think they can have some surprisingly good matches. But that's up WWE Creative to see if they want to keep them together. And at this point, they will do far worse separated versus being together as a united front. As Zelina being a hybrid manager wrestler on the side, while Andrade is clearly established as a solo star that could offer so much to Raw or SmackDown. But preferably, he should be on Raw if the Fiend and Alexa Bliss are holding residence there as of right now. But we shall see in the days and possibly weeks to come. Next up was the Raw Tag Team Championship match featuring the New Day defending those belts against Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. Now, I have no affinity emotionally for Ziggler or Roode, but they're damn good as professional wrestlers, and I never knock them for that. And the New Day are great, as always. And this was a really good professional wrestling match. Tag team wrestling at its finest. I loved everything everyone did. Xavier Woods continues to impress in his comeback. Hits the honor roll on Dolph Ziggler early on. Tries to hit it again on Robert Roode. Gets caught with a gorgeous spine buster. And from there, Dolph Ziggler tries to prevent Kofi from getting the hot tag, but Kofi lays out Ziggler at ringside and gets the blind tag and sets up the midnight hour on Robert Roode to secure the 1-2-3 and successfully retain the Raw Tag Team titles. As I said, a sound professional wrestling match. No complaints from me. And hopefully, as we have these divisions for Raw and SmackDown in shambles in terms of quality tag teams, things will pick up in the weeks to come if certain people get elevated in the tag team scene to make the moves make sense for the Street Profits and the New Day, respectively. Next up was round 4 of the 2020 WWE Draft Part 2. Moving to Monday Night Raw was Elias. Sami Zayn, the reigning defending Intercontinental Champion, remains on SmackDown. Lacey Evans moves to Monday Night Raw. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura remain on Friday Night SmackDown. And Sheamus makes the move to Monday Night Raw. A pretty nondescript round that left a lot to be desired for some folks. I'm glad Sami stays put, as well as Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, that could be in line for a tag team shot against the Street Profits down the road. And it should be noted, Sheamus is the red-headed assailant that set up Jeff Hardy back in May that injured Elias during the hit and run. And if Elias ever figures that out, then your man is right there to smash with a guitar at your convenience. Quickly moving on to round 5 of the 2020 WWE Draft Part 2. Nikki Cross is following Alexa Bliss to Monday Night Raw. Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode are making the switch to Friday Night SmackDown. R-Truth, the multi-time, I can't keep count, 24/7 champion, remains on Monday Night Raw. Apollo Crews moves back to Friday Night SmackDown. And Dabba Kato, who is a seasoned veteran on Raw Underground, remains on Monday Night Raw. A pretty round, as well as I had my second favorite moment of the night take place, courtesy of Ricochet versus Cedric Alexander. Now, Groundhog Day is supposed to be over post-draft. And fortunately, Ricochet has answered our prayers by saying, I am done with this. You've been fighting for months and you have retribution to worry about. So how about this? I'm going to challenge one of you one more time. And if I win, then you leave me alone. You let me be. But if I lose, then yes, I would join the Hurt Business. And I heard a choir of angels singing, because I've been clamoring for this for months. And then Cedric Alexander was more than happy to accept the challenge, which took place during the third hour of Monday Night Raw. And I never rooted for Ricochet to lose before, but I was really hoping he would lose so he would join the Hurt Business. But it wasn't meant to be, but I will accept this outcome for his creativity alone. As Ricochet went for the 630 on the top rope, Cedric rolls out the way, hits a gorgeous Michinoku driver for a near fall. And from there, he tries at the lumbar check to no avail as Ricochet flips off of him. And then Cedric does a great ref bump into the referee. Referee can't see anything for a moment. And this allows MVP to grab a steel chair to cheat blatantly. And he slides it to Cedric Alexander. And during this, Ricochet sees what's up. He tries to go after MVP, but he notices the referee stirring and he grabs a steel chair and he slams it hard against the mat. He feigns fainting. He chucks the chair to Cedric and he is caught red-handed by the referee, and the referee DQs Cedric and declares Ricochet the winner. I love that spot. It was a great homage to the late, great Eddie Guerrero, who would have turned 53 years old this past Friday, and we are getting ever so close to the sad anniversary of his passing, which will be 15 years in November, if you can believe it. It's unbelievable even to this day that such a talent, a bright light, and one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is no longer with us. But his legacy lives on via lying, cheating, and stealing, courtesy of Ricochet. It was a cute moment, and now apparently, hopefully for good, Ricochet is done with the Hurt Business, but a part of me hopes one day he joins them and feuds with Retribution. Fingers crossed. And now it is time for the final round of the 2020 WWE Draft, as we had Titus O'Neil being drafted to Monday Night Raw, which he will stay. Carmella remains on Friday Night SmackDown, and she is one of the few people that has never moved brands since the brand extension began once again 4 years ago. Peyton Royce remains on Monday Night Raw as the Black moves to Friday Night SmackDown, and Akira Tozawa and his ninjas remain on Monday Night Raw. And for me, Akira Tozawa deserves more than being a stereotypical ninja warrior. He needs to be on NXT vying for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, but that's just me. I prefer him to be used properly as a legit threat for major championships, but I guess it's not in the cards right now, which makes me sad, but this too shall pass. And now it is now time for our main event segment, a dual branded battle word to determine Asuka's opponent for the season premiere of Monday Night Raw, and it will be for the Raw Women's Championship. The hot rumor going around all day long on social media was Eva Marie re-signing with WWE, and that has been confirmed by various news outlets from the wrestling industry. And I was very neutral on the news. I like Eva Marie. I think that she will surprise people upon her return. I think there's a method to this madness as well. And I know fans want to shit on her saying she sucks as a wrestler. Well, that was her gimmick, to not do very much. And she's been stuck in traffic for 4 years. I will always laugh at that because her personal ring announcer sold it as if it was a serious news update. And I still have that seared in my brain to this day. It will always crack me up. It will never not be funny, and the gag repeats itself as apparently she was stuck in traffic once again, as she did not appear in this battle royal as well as Alexa Bliss as she was advertised initially and then was pulled at the last minute, which pissed me off, and you heard that earlier on in this episode. But we did have Bianca Belair, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, the Wyatt Squad, Tamina out there, Lacey Evans, Natalya, Lana, to name the majority of the combatants in this match to vie for Asuka's Raw Women's Championship during the season premiere next week. It was fine. Bianca had a few good eliminations, Nia Jax as well, until everyone eliminated Nia Jax, including her tag team partner, Shayna Baszler. Actually, Bianca eliminated Shayna later in the match as well, before the Wyatt Squad eliminated Bianca as well. And it should be noted that after Nia got eliminated, poor Lana got put through the announce table once again in a running gag that is not getting old. It's actually becoming quite funny at this point. But the final two were in fact Lacey Evans and Natalya, and they fought on the outside for a bit, had some great saves, particularly from Natalya, who used her upper body strength to avoid her feet hitting the floor. But ultimately she took out Lacey Evans on the ring post to be the last woman standing, or so we thought. And I thought this was the moment Eva Marie was going to sneak out of nowhere and eliminate Natalya. But even though Lana ate the table spot, she was not eliminated from the match, and she knocked Natty off the ropes to win the battle royal, because earlier in the night Lana was in a tag team match with Natalya against Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, who were also in the battle royal. And once again, Lana Eight Another Loss, courtesy of Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. And Natalya ditched her as her tag team partner, and now they're separated once again, as Natalya was sent to SmackDown during Raw Talk last night, and Lana remained on Monday Night Raw. But who has the last laugh but Lana? Now, Lana versus Asuka is definitely a choice, but I will say that Lana has worked hard to get better, and I truly appreciate that. And if for nothing else, she's a great seller. She would sell her ass off for Asuka, and I'm sure Asuka would do her best to have a good match with Lana, but we shall see. But the one thing that infuriated me regarding this main event was the fact that twice we had Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre fighting backstage, cutting away from the main event, which was not a good look. That was unnecessary. They fought at the top of the show. They didn't need to be seen at the end of the show. There was no need for it. Unless you're doing a big stunt at the end, don't interrupt this match. Then Lana can barely celebrate her surprise victory without Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton fighting around the Thunderdome once again and people breaking it up as Raw went off the air. And mind you, not a stunt took place to justify the brawling on the outside. It took away from the main event. It took away from Lana's moment. You don't have to shoehorn the WWE title match into this main event that needed none of it. It needed no gaga, no window dressing from two guys that already had their shine at the beginning of the show. Let Lana have her shine at the end. She's ate four table spots in 5 weeks, and she finally got on the other side with a win. Good for her. And she had a really good night on the mic as well, saying that she has been through two divorces and an ex-girlfriend. And that was her most natural delivery since forever. And I want more of that from Lana. Lana can be a great personality when she's not trying to be broad with her performances. She can add value to any show if she's allowed to be herself, and she can bring her own brand of crazy if it's contained. And I thought she did a good job last night selling her ass off once again for Nia Jackson, winning the Battle Royal, and can possibly have a sneaky good match against Asuka if everything goes according to plan during the season premiere of Monday Night Raw, which will also feature Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman. And those are the only announcements for next week's show as a draft wraps up. I do want to make mention of the draft moves that took place on Talking Smack this past Saturday, which aired on demand on the free tier of the WWE Network. And it includes Humberto Carrillo staying on Monday Night Raw, Drew Gulak being moved to Monday Night Raw. We also had Murphy being moved to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, Kalisto remaining on SmackDown, and moving to Monday Night Raw was Tucker. So that means Tucker and Otis are no longer together. Heavy Machinery is done, and that's a shame. I thought Heavy Machinery deserved at least one run as tag team champions, and now that's never going to happen, which is a damn shame. Tucker is great as a performer, but his personality lacks a lot, and he might get lost in the shuffle on Mondays, but we shall see. As for Raw Talk, the following moves took place on the free tier of the WWE Network. The Riot Squad, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, is on Friday Night SmackDown, effective immediately. We have Arturo Ruiz remaining on Raw Underground, Monday Night Raw. Riddick Moss remaining on Monday Night Raw, Raw Underground. Natalya moves to Friday Night SmackDown. And in the final move of the 2020 draft, we have Lana remaining on Monday Night Raw. And pre-Raw, we have Shorty G, Chad Gable is his name, remaining on Friday Night SmackDown. And Grandma Talik and Kalisto moving to Monday Night Raw. So Lucha House Party is no more. And that wraps up the draft officially. We have undrafted free agents, including Mickie James, most notably, along with Zelina Vega and Andrade and Eric from the Viking Raiders. People that are injured are not in the pool. People that are out for various reasons are not in the pool either. So that is it. As far as I know, once people are signed or drafted, since WWE does not understand free agency, I will let you guys know accordingly on the podcast by Friday who is going where officially. We shall see. Overall, Monday Night Raw was a blend of good wrestling, some good draft picks, some questionable choices, and some false advertising that really pissed me off in terms of no retribution and Alexa Bliss in the Battle Royal itself. So that needs to be addressed full stop over the next week to really add clarity as to why those things did not happen. I know things change, but when you announce these things in advance, you owe it to your public to say why these things reversed course. I think we're owed that, especially when you have people waiting all night long for a Mustafa Ali promo that never happened, or Alexa Bliss appearing in the Battle Royal and she only appears in a great segment, but not in the main event. if you don't want her to lose, as I mentioned earlier, don't put her in the match to begin with. Protect her character and protect her as an aura that is probably one of the best things you have on Monday Night Raw these days, as I think SmackDown definitely came out on top of this draft. The women's division is still a weak spot, but you do have anchors in Bayley, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, the Wyatt Squad, Natalya there to buffer things. Carmella, we'll see what her new character is about. And if we can add maybe a Melina, who's rumored to be back in WWE very soon, Eva Marie, who could slide in there as well, just add some additional depth to that roster, and I think they'll be okay. The tag teams for both shows is light, and they need to really address that full stop. That has been a sore spot for both shows for months now, and that's also impacting NXT as well. So they need to really strengthen those tag team divisions. Swapping belts are cute, but you need to strengthen the legitimacy and the depth of these divisions to make it make sense. I think the main event scene for SmackDown is a bit more top-heavy, with Roman Reigns at the top, with quality opponents from Seth Rollins to Kevin Owens to Daniel Bryan to Big E eventually. So those are options he can definitely play with. Drew McIntyre as AJ Styles, Braun Strowman, Keith Lee eventually, The Fiend perhaps if he is not booked like shit in those big time championship matches, but we shall see. But for me, in terms of balance, SmackDown wins Raw is definitely a question mark. There are some bright spots, but the women's division is very hard to sift through. Asuka has a work cut out for her. When Charlotte comes back, we see what she can do as well. But yeah, it's going to be some rough sledding, and it's going to be some growing pains for the alleged A show of WWE, as SmackDown looks more ace with better storylines and a deeper roster of talent, with the tag team division being a sore spot for everyone at the moment. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 38 of the Raw Verdict Recap and the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at LadyWrestlingX on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestlingZotopia. They can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows that drop on the semi-daily, recapping Monday Night Raw, AEW Dynamite, NXT, and Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. Feel free to download past episodes on all of your favorite podcast directories, dating back to episode number 1 of the Raw Verdict Recap and the fallout from the 2020 Warrior Rumble, every AEW Dynamite, all the takeovers, all the WWE pay-per-views, as I get you ready for Hell in a Cell in 2 weeks' time on the WWE Network, and the final AEW pay-per-view of the year, Full Gear, on Saturday, November 7th. So you know what to do. Search WrestlingZotopia on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. I'll be back Thursday morning with episode number 26 of the AEW Dynamite / NXT Potpourri mashup. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday and your hump day. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.